Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pony Development Sync for August 2nd, the year 2022. Let's get started. I almost forgot to introduce. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call like to say their names so that people listening along later can associate a name to the voice, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Gord Tischer.
Hi, I'm Borja.
I'm Brett Davis.
All right. So let's take a look at our auto-generated agenda for this week. In the PonyLang RFC's repo, we have some activity on pull request 201. I'm scrolling down. Looks like there's been a lot of back and forth on some suggested changes from Ryan Hagenson, as well as, let's see, Red, you left a comment there about a typo. Okay. Yeah. So there's been a lot of activity here. I have not had a chance to look at the latest changes, but so I don't have anything interesting to say about this RFC, but it looks like it has been through some rounds of review. Does it seem like this is starting to approach a point of stability where we could mark it as final comment period, or shall we let it continue a little longer in iteration?
I'll see if I can have some time this week to review it. I wanted to give it a look.
Okay, well, we can hold off a little bit then. Anybody have comments they want to make about it during the call here? All right. Well, in that case, let's move on to Pony C repo pull request 4167, fix when for crash when methods with default private type params in remote packages are called. This is a fix from StephanDD. It looks like, Borja, you've already reviewed. I have not looked at this yet, but yeah, it's pretty simple fix.
Yeah, I'm not sure if there's anywhere else on the code, like on the compiler, where we use the old lookup function. I think this was the only place where we weren't using lookup try. So I don't know if there's still any use to keep that function around. But apart from that, everything here looks good. I gave some comments for the release notes and examples, and I think this is good to go.
All right, then I've marked it as approved as well. Should we go ahead and merge it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. I'm just gonna adjust the commit message here. There's a lot of commit messages here, but I think so. Yeah, it has. So there's just some stuff here that's written. I'm trying to figure out the best way to compress this message because there's some stuff that's written twice or in different ways.
Yeah, I think you can keep the first, the first 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs. So
okay,
like the first three lines and then the paragraph, and then the rest can go.
Okay.
Because, yeah, at the beginning, this was two PRs into one, and then the like, yeah, then Stefan split them.
Okay, and this does resolve both issue tickets, right? Yeah.
No, only one, only 4130.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to to change this around a little bit.
So it's pretty similar to what it's on the OP, like on the first comment. That's probably the commit message that we can use.
Okay. Well, there we go. It is merged. Let's take a look at the next one on the auto-generated agenda, 4164. Run test suites and stress tests in a debugger. It's from Dippin. We sometimes currently get seg faults and other crashes when running our test suites and stress tests via CI. We don't get any useful information when these crashes occur. This commit adds GDB to most of our Docker containers and uses either GDB or LLDB to run the test suites and stress tests in CI. Yeah, I had the same comment as Sean about LLDB instead of GDB. There is some more back and forth with Sean.
Yeah, I think it got changed to LLDB.
Yeah. And then there's some Cirrus CI changes that Sean asked to be reverted, and it looks like they have been. So yeah, most of this commit is just adding LLDB to the containers.
Yeah.
And let's see, Cirrus.yml has a large diff still, but that's just changing the versions of all these container images, it looks like. Oh, plus adding use dbg equals true. Use dbg is kind of weird. It's kind of a weird name for that. I'm trying to figure out if there's a...
Yeah.
Like, it's weird that it's abbreviated, and then I thought about, you know, suggesting that it just be use debug, but then it's a little bit weird to have an overlap between config equals debug and use debug equals true. So I'm wondering if it should just be LLD. Well, this is it says things like dbg command is overridable, I guess. Dbg command, where does that get overridden? Or dbg command. Okay, yeah, so it's an LLDB line.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think... I think it would be nicer if this was named like use LLDB, just because I think that DBG is confusing. Does anybody else feel differently?
Yeah, I think I would rename that flag, and I don't have like probably a good suggestion for the new name. Because it's, and I mean, it's weird that it's set at the, like when you're compiling, because it's only used when you do actually the test. So it doesn't affect anything else when you're compiling.
Okay, so I'm gonna just write a comment up suggesting a different name, and then I'll move on.
Okay.
Okay. Sorry about that. Moving on to the number 4159, fix incorrect atomics usage. This is from Sean. I wrote a comment that says looks good other than release notes. There's been no other activity since then. I'm going to remove the label for this. And we can go ahead and move on to enhance runtime stats tracking 4144. This, let's see, I have, okay. Yeah, so I approved 14 days ago. Borja, you added a comment about release notes. It looks like release notes have been added. Can you review again, Borja, and approve if you're ready?
Yeah, give me a second because I already did it last time, so I'll just check the last two commits. Okay. Okay, I'm going to hit approve, but probably I don't know how busy Son is these days, but I probably want him to give a final look before merging.
Okay, yeah, it looks like
This changes a lot of things inside the runtime, which I'm not completely familiar with. So, the overall changes look good, but I don't know if my impression is like the most informed.
Okay, I left a comment asking Sean if he wants to review again before we merge.
Okay.
Now moving on to the next one, which is 3882, add Linux muscle tests on ARM. I have already approved this, but the tests were failing and it looks like there's been lots of this is still...
Yeah, it's still an issue, and it's not clear. Not clear what's going on here, apart from... Yeah, I don't know if it's something related to how we're doing exceptions. Maybe something changes here. But like Son said, maybe... It's something specific to the platform. I don't know. I haven't had much chance to investigate more.
Yeah, and I don't think Sean's had much of a chance either. So we can just, I'll leave the label on this for next week.
Okay.
And we'll move on to 3278, trigger GC for actors when they tell the cycle detector they're blocked. This is from Dippin. It looks like so there's some questions about CI failures, not knowing if it's a spurious failure. Yeah, Sean says he's okay with merging and keeping an eye out for similar problems. Then Dippin says he's going to think about it. And so I think this is just going to be in need of Sean's. Well, Sean already reviewed. Sean reviewed September 26th, 2020. Okay. Yeah, so that was a while ago. I'll ask Sean if the approval from 2020 still stands.
That's good.
Okay. We'll move on to issue tickets 4162. No compiler error for someclass.create is someclass.create. So this manually desugared version compiles successfully. I don't know how I feel about this being a bug. I guess it is. It's one of those things where the compiler is trying to be helpful and detect something subtle that you might not have noticed with identity. But if you're explicitly calling the constructor with the manually desugared versions, it's not so subtle anymore. And I'm not sure that it's actually, this feels more like a linter thing than a compilation error per se. I can see it kind of either way, but.
Yeah, even the original one, like just without the create, I understand why it's there, but yeah, it's a blurry line between being a compiler error and just like a very strict warning.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't really have any like linter tool right now, but that's where I would want to see it if we did have one.
Yeah.
I'm just going to remove the discuss during sync label on this because I think this is just in a state where somebody could work on it. I'm not opposed to expanding this compiler error. It just doesn't seem like like if you're going to the trouble of typing it out, you would think you would know that you were calling two constructors, but maybe not.
Yeah. And so is create reserved for constructors?
Or no.
Can we? Yeah, so then it becomes tricky to know, like, is it really calling the constructor? Is it calling like a, it has to be a smarter check than just like hard coding create.
Yeah, I mean, we can see if the function name refers to a constructor, but we have to,
I mean, do you do this also for like return values, like X is some function that returns an instance of that type?
No.
How far away do you go? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, yeah, my opinion on the question of how far we go is not very far.
Yeah.
Like, I think the initial one is pretty justifiable because the create sugar could be surprising to some people.
Yeah.
It's a little bit unusual in terms of languages, the create sugar that we have, where you just name a type and it creates a new instance of that type, calling the constructor with no arguments. It's a little bit surprising, and especially it gets more surprising when you think about how primitives work, where you're actually calling a constructor of the primitive, but the primitive is not really being constructed. It already existed. And so for the primitive, the identity already existed, but for non-primitives, it didn't exist. And so, yeah, that's all kind of confusing. And it's nice to have the compiler catch you when you do something. Like, it's easy to get this wrong.
Yeah, yeah. Especially if you are used to doing it with none, like X is known, isn't known, whatever, and then you try to apply it to classes, it's going to bite you.
Well, I've removed the needs discussion during sync label, and we can move on to 4153 potential compiler seg fault in lookup.c. Is this the one that just got fixed, or no? This is the one that
it got mentioned, but it wasn't fixed. So someone said like we should, if this check against null is not necessary, then let's put an assert there. And then Stefan did that, and it crashed. So we should probably either fix whatever, like we're trying to find where in the compiler we're calling this function with null, I don't know.
Yeah. Agreed. Opt should never really be null, except for, I don't know, maybe in some kind of weird test scenario, like where you're not running a full version of the compiler, but you're trying to test some individual function. Perhaps it could be null then, but even that would be kind of bad.
And Stefan says that it only crashed in debug mode, which seems suspect. So it's something to investigate.
Okay, so I'm just writing, we discussed this during sync. The next step would be to use a debugger like LLDB to catch the assert fail and figure out what code path is calling with a null opt. Is that a good summary?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. That comment is left. And 4069 ARCH64 stress test failure. This is just a comment that you added that this still happens from time to time on CI. And then so Sean reopened it 20 days ago. I'm going to just remove the needs discussion during sync label.
Okay.
And that takes us through all our issues on the PonyC repo. And we're about halfway through the hour. Does anybody have any special topics to talk about?
No, not right now. I was looking at, there was a thread on the beginner help. Stefan was asking about something that looks like a bug, but he was going to open an issue. So I'll wait for that to read it.
So I'm kind of curious about this one. I just want to quickly, there's a lot to read through here, so I might not be able to, but a slightly smaller example showing the same problem. Okay, so there's an array-like class that has an array embedded within it, and filter function, okay, works correctly with box arrow A, but is buggy with this arrow A. So it takes a function that takes a viewpoint adapted A as the argument. And that is interesting. Interesting indeed. So there is a filter class. Where is the filter class used? It's used within the filter function. And on creation, the filter class prints to printf. calls on the first. Okay, so it's somehow printing false. So it says Sean believes it should print, should be a compiler error. So there's no type matching here. Yeah, I'm a little bit confused as to what's going on here. Do you have any insight already, Borjar? You hadn't read through it yet.
No, I just gave it a look first. Okay. And but yeah, it's quite surprising. I don't know why it would print false at all. So yeah, might be something. Yeah, might be what Son is saying, that might be something miscompiling or something like that.
Why does Stefan say the lambda is not called?
So it is being called, but it's being called with the wrong, or like the return type is being flipped. Yeah, it's weird. I would need to look at this example more carefully.
Yeah.
Because the array thing might be like completely unrelated. So probably trying to minimize it to just exposing the difference in viewpoint of the patient would be enough.
Yeah, I just loaded it into the playground, and I want to actually see if the filter does run, or if the lambda function does run. So we should be able to see something like, F2 ran. So yeah, I'm just trying to quickly see if the function indeed runs or if it does not run.
Mm-hmm.
By adding a printf inside the function. Okay, so it does not run. So.
Oh, it doesn't run?
Yeah. I'm able to print within, and the F1 does print, the F2 does not print. So time to.
Okay, that's weird. So then why is it printing false at all?
Yeah, it shouldn't be able to print anything.
Yeah, so that's something we are going on in there.
Okay. Yeah, that is very odd. And I'm going to quickly it's taking advantage of. I'm just going to see a little bit more about the identity here. So I'm going to print each. I'm going to print the pointer address of each function,
mm-hmm.
and see what that does. And I also wonder if making it partial will be enough to make it go away. Or make the problem, I wonder if making it non-partial will make the problem go away, perhaps. Interesting. Is something so this the function should return the function should receive an I-32, is that right? Oh no, there's the thingy. Okay. Thingy is the second one. Oh, and it needs to be this arrow. Okay, so this is... That's where the weirdness comes in. So I have no way to use this. Okay, yeah. Okay. So if you take that that same example and you make... It explicitly use, like if you make the lambda type more explicit, instead of just leaving it as x for F2, if you make it x colon thingy box, and it works correctly. So my general guess about what's going on is that this type is going to be referring to, the this arrow type is messing things up. Like when it comes to the lambda type inference, from the antecedent, so the antecedent being the explicit type that's on line 16 in the filter function that says this arrow A is the argument and bool is the return value. That is the antecedent for the lambda literal that's on the other line. And it's the type of X is weird. coming from the, because it's like using this type in inference, and it's not, something's going wonky with that. And I think what's happening is the type system is satisfied when perhaps it shouldn't be. And I mean, that's probably what Sean was saying when he said it should be a compile time issue. Well, no, honestly, this one should not be a compile time. It should be better inference, but given the inference that we have, it should be a compile time error saying that's kind of like an invalid lambda type or like there's something about this not being present in the context where it's used. But the right or best thing to do would probably be to downgrade to a, because B is a box, like we should be turning this in that expression into a box. And so without needing to change any of the source code that Stefan wrote, we should be implicitly inferring X as a box arrow thingy instead of a this arrow thingy because B is a box. And because we're not doing that and the type system is satisfied rather than being angry at us, it compiles. And then when we compile every lambda type that is distinct from other Lambda types ends up with a different virtual table index, or rather like they're distinct to the virtual table level. And so any collision, if there is a function at that virtual table index, it is a function that doesn't belong there. And so it's because we have one type going in on one side that's putting, it's registering the function at a certain virtual table index. And then the other side, it has a different type signature. It's getting a different virtual table index. And so it's probably running, this would probably alternate between, you know, the example Stefan gave returns false, but other versions of this would seg fault. Other versions of this would, return garbled nonsense. I think probably the reason you're getting a false is because whatever function you happen to call is returning something that's equivalent to zero. And the zero is being interpreted as a false.
Yeah, I try to change the rule to return like a proper class, just hoping that it would convert it into a null pointer, but it didn't happen. So, but it could happen, who knows?
Yeah. So I will write something a little bit about that in the thread.
Okay.
And I think, does anybody have any other special topics to raise?
No, so far.
Okay. Well, then, thanks everyone for attending. And for those listening along to the recording later, we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Joe. Bye.